All right, well, thank you guys for having me. As you guys all know, I'm Erin Price. That's my mom right there. And this is the church where I grew up, okay? Ever since I was about this tall, I was in here every Sunday carrying a baby doll, usually. I would sit right there, three rows back, with Granddaddy and Grandma and Mama and my brother, who was a baby at the time. Right back there in that building is where I was first taught about Jesus and all of that through songs like Father Abraham and crafts and all kinds of things that spark a child's interest. Even then, I never really understood how deep it went. I knew the face value of it. I knew it was real. I knew who Jesus was. I understood. But I didn't get that there was something deeper, that there was a relationship to be had there. Well, fast forward a couple years. This was the summer before middle school. And when we were little, we would always go around 96 and go to all the different Bible schools and stuff that they would have during the summer. And I went to one at Kynard United Methodist Church. And that's where I met these two girls that later would have a huge impact on my life. Well, they were new in town. They had just moved here from Kentucky. They were preacher's daughters. And we became friends really, really quickly. And I ended up going to their church instead of here. I joined their youth group. There was only four of us. and from there, I still had that same knowing what it was, but not fully understanding. I didn't know about having a calling. I didn't understand having a relationship with God. None of that was ever taught to me. And then my mom got sick. So I remember almost every detail of this day. It was April 25th, 2014. And I was sitting on my bedroom floor watching TV when I heard what I thought was my dad working on one of his motorcycles in the basement, because I could feel like the floor vibrating, and I heard something hitting the floor, and I thought that he was cranking up a motorcycle. And then I realized it took me about 30 seconds to process that he wasn't there, that he wasn't home at the time. So I ran down the hall to my mom's room to find out what was happening, and she was laying on the floor having a seizure. So I called my little brother in. He was 6 or 7 at the time. I yelled for him, and I ran barefoot next door to Grandma and Granddaddy's because I had no idea what to do. They drove over as soon as they could. Within 2 minutes, they were there, and they called 911, and by the time the ambulance got there, she had stopped seizing, but she had gone into cardiac arrest. And that was the first time that the ambulance was there that day. By the time they got there, she was fine. She was up, standing, and she had gone to bed. So they left. They said everything was fine. About half an hour later, she abruptly stood up and fell to the floor and went into cardiac arrest. And we called them back, and at this time they had to take her in the ambulance, and they shocked her 47 times. She was in a coma for 3 or 4 days, and it would be 3 months until I saw her again. She was in the ICU, and I was 12 years old, so I wasn't allowed to go and see her. And this was really rough on me, because this was the summer before middle school. I was a mess. I was in denial about what was happening. And as soon as I actually realized what had happened, it was just so much anger and resentment that I had towards everything. 4 months after she had that, after that happened, she was sent home to live with us. And she's progressively gotten a bit better, which is good. But about 6 months after that, I started 7th grade. And when I was in sixth grade, after all this stuff happened, all of the kids would, they would reach out to me. They were very nice to me. Although they didn't quite understand, they tried. And I was very angry and resentful towards them for not understanding. Like, there was this one example that I remember. There was this kid in my class. It was Mother's Day, and we were making cards. And this was a month after Mama had gotten sick. And he came up to my desk, and I forgot what he said, but it made me, it was something really, it was a really, really smart remark about my mom. And I stood up, and 12-year-old me, okay, I was about this tall, I reached up and I grabbed him by the collar, and I started yelling at him in class. And we both got pulled out of the room and taken in the hallway, and neither one of us got in trouble. But that was when I realized that I've really got some issues here with this anger. So all through sixth grade, I was very, very angry and resentful towards everyone. And then things began to fall apart even more from there. When seventh grade started, all of the caring that I'd seen from my classmates quickly changed. The girls started bullying me for everything that was happening with my mom. They would pick on me relentlessly about it. They would tease me about the way I look. They would make fun of me because I had acne, which is to this day why I will not cover it up. Because I will not let them have that power over me. So their bullying quickly turned that anger that I had towards everyone into a deep depression. And that's how I went through seventh grade. I was angry and depressed, and I withdrew into myself, and I stopped talking to people, and I lost most of my friends that I had had since kindergarten. Well, that summer, one of my dad's friends, Philip Fortner, he invited me to go to Epworth. Now, he had been inviting me every summer ever since I was 6 years old, and I always said no because I was always a mama's girl. I never wanted to leave her side. And that had all changed. So I was looking for an outlet. I wanted an escape. I wanted to meet new people. And so I went. I had no, my motivation was not to learn about God. That was not the reason why I went to this church camp. But that's what ended up happening. So when I got there, I met the group of people that is now probably some of the most important people to me. They have influenced me in ways that I never could have imagined. There were counselors there that were living for Jesus the way I had never seen anyone before. They were unashamed to talk about everything that had happened in their past. They were unashamed to pray in public. And that was just so amazing to me because I had never seen that before. And one conversation that I had with a counselor sitting on top of a bathroom sink at about 2:00 in the morning at Epworth Camp is what made me realize that that's what I wanted for my life, was that that was how I wanted to follow Jesus, was without shame. And so the very next day, I was planning on going to the altar and giving my life to Christ and being saved. And before I did end up doing it that day, but this girl that I knew and was very close to, I knew that she was going through a lot, but I had no idea the depth of it. Before the preacher even started preaching, just during the praise and worship music, she starts crying, and we all go up to the altar with her, and she gets saved, I got saved. And two other girls did. And it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. All of us down at the altar crying and praying over each other. And that was the day I was saved. That was also the day that I realized what my calling was. And I had no idea any of this. I had no idea what I was doing. I was flying blind at this point. That's when I knew that I was not meant to be the shy, quiet little girl sitting in the pew. That's not where I was supposed to be. That's when I knew that I was supposed to be up here, talking and sharing what God has done in my life. But I was like, no, it can't be me. He can't want to use me. That's not possible. You know, there's no way a 12-year-old girl could be useful. So I pushed it away. About 3 years, I denied it. I told everybody, I was like, yeah, I want to go to law school. I had nothing to do with it. I went back to Epworth every year. The same kind of stuff happened. We were, you know, praying over somebody getting saved. Amazing, amazing things happened. But I kept ignoring it. I kept ignoring what I knew I was supposed to be doing. And there were several reasons for that. One was because I have seen so much animosity within the church about women being preachers and women in ministry. Even within my FCA group, which I'll explain that later, there is so many people that have an issue every time I go up there and speak. And that was one of the main reasons I was pushing it away. That and because there's so much confusion about God speaking and you actually receiving an audible visual calling. Well, it wasn't until 10th grade last year that I decided to jump in and just go for it. What happened was I ended up at an FCA leadership meeting. Now, I hadn't been to an FCA meeting since I was in middle school. And somehow, I don't even remember how I ended up at this meeting. I don't remember being asked to go. I just know that I was there and I was an FCA leader. Okay. And then 2 weeks later, they asked me to speak. And so I did. And it was the most amazing thing. Actually, I still have my notes from that very first speech that I gave. I told the story of the woman caught in adultery, which was very, very interesting. And it was amazing. There were so many people that came up to me afterwards and still had questions. And they kept asking me about like my story and how I went from just being that girl that, oh yeah, she runs cross country, that's Erin, okay, to, oh, she's doing that now. They wanted to know, and I was happy to tell them. I have never been ashamed to share my story, because someone else sharing their story one night at 2 o'clock in the morning on a bathroom sink is what brought me to Jesus. So that's one thing that I've never been afraid of. And ever since I started speaking at FCA, last year, they had me speaking every other Friday, because there was only two of us that would do it for the most part. And so we would alternate weeks. And even still, I was just kind of like, I would randomly open my Bible. This is something that another camp counselor taught me, was that when you're stuck, I would just randomly open it, and 90% of the time, I would find the answer to whatever I was asking, which is amazing. So I would randomly open my Bible, and I would end up writing my speech from that. And that's all I was doing. I wasn't really, like, on fire for Jesus. I was still very lukewarm, even though I was up there talking. And then I went to Epworth this summer, so 2 months ago, a month ago, something like that. And I was still so unsure about my calling. I was like, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way God's called a 16-year-old girl to, you know, pursue this. There's absolutely no way. But I had so many questions about women in ministry. And there's this woman up in Clemson, the daughter of the man who invited me to Epworth. She's a preacher. And she is so inspiring. And I've always looked up to her, but I never really had the opportunity to talk to her. And so I had a list of things in my head. I had never written these things down. I'd never told them to anyone, of questions that I wanted to ask her. And she was going to speak at Epworth. So about 5 minutes before she was supposed to speak, I went up to her and I said, hey, Tammy, My name's Aaron. I'm interested in ministry. Could I talk to you afterwards? And she just stood there. She gave me the biggest hug. And she was like, yeah, of course. And she goes up there. And she goes, I was going to preach about one thing, but something else happened. And I thought I had to talk about that. And she was like, this young lady came up to me and told me that she was interested in ministry. And she said how it was such a blessing on her. And she made me raise my hand, but that was okay. And she proceeded to, in her sermon, she ticked off every single one of my questions in order that I had. And that was the most amazing thing ever. And then I went up to her afterwards, and she hugged me again. And she said, I hope that answered all your questions. And I was like, oh, yeah, it definitely did. So that was kind of like the confirmation for me. That was confirming that, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, that no matter what the people around me are saying, I have to keep doing this. And then 2 days later, I was still worried. I was still not sure even after that. I was like, you know, maybe not. Maybe not. And then there was this counselor there. He was one of the guy's counselors. And me and him were really good friends. And I had known that he lost a friend in a car accident about 2 years ago. But I had no idea how much this has hurt him. And we were standing in the pews and during the preaching, and he asked me to go down there with him and pray over him, which I thought was kind of odd because he's a counselor and I'm a camper. But I did, and he starts crying so much, and I had never seen this man cry. It was so amazing. He was sitting there, and I was, okay, so it's a little controversial, but I was telling him, like, what I was supposed to be telling him. And he looks up at me. He's squeezing my hand as hard as he can. And he looks up at me and he says, that's the first time I felt free in 1.5 years. And so I started crying because that was like the validation that I needed to know that, yes, this is real. This is what I'm going to be doing with the rest of my life. That was just so amazing. Because God was giving me the words to tell him. And to this day, I do not remember what I told him. So, yeah. And then after that, I guess the last big thing that's happened was that I was asked to speak at the FCA kickoff. And we had 50 people show up, which was a huge turnout for 96. And that was amazing. I talked about trials and how it's not easy to be a Christian and how being a Christian is like being a fish swimming upstream, which I think is something that has really been very prevalent in this entire last 4 years, was how I kept battling it. I kept pushing it away because I didn't believe that it could be possible that God wanted to use me. I was like, no, I'm just me. You know, I'm nothing special. I couldn't possibly be worthy of this calling. So yeah, that's my story. Thank you. And if you're wondering how I'm planning on pursuing this in the future, is towards the end of this year, whenever I take the SAT and get my scores back, I'm going to be applying to Liberty University in Virginia with a major in pastoral ministry and probably a minor in camp and outdoor leadership. So, yeah. Well, I guess I will close this out with a prayer. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done in my life, and thank you for everything that you've shown me and all of the courage that you've given me over these last 4 years. Thank you for taking my life from what it was to what it is. Thank you for helping me live unashamed for you. I just want to lift your name as high as possible and praise you with every minute of my life. Because when I was saved, you changed me. And now I'm going to do everything I can to give that back to you. Thank you for everything that you've done, and thank you for all of the amazing people that you've placed in my life that led up to that. Thank you for all of the people that are here today, and thank you for allowing me to spread your message. Amen.